Hare Krishna. I must say, who's doing the sound while Ananda Gopal? A little Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I must say I'm very, very happy to be here. You all know how much I wanted to be here at Nityananda's appearance day. But I've made it for Gauranga's appearance day. And philosophically speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Nityananda. Nityananda is not different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm on the day here where I wanted to be here. I want to thank you very, very much for coming. Hare Krishna. I know that some of you have made a long journey from Belgrade and Serbia, and others have come from Hare Krishna, from Germany also. Manavananda, welcome. From Germany, and I heard many have come from Bosnia. And also from Ljubljana I have seen devotees. And more are coming every minute. So it's very, very kind of you for coming to this evening, and I'm very, very grateful. Today in the car, as we were driving here, Gaurahari, who has been with me all this time, all the past weeks, he asked, how are you? Meaning how my physical well-being would be. And I answered by saying, I'm happy. I'm with my family. I'm with the devotees who have been always very kind to me. And I do believe very much that the subject matter of healing or recuperating or gaining full strength is very, very much dependent on feelings of happiness, of feelings of love, and the like. And I will talk today about this subject matter. My lecture will be having a very provocative title, a thought-provocative title. The title is From the Head to the Heart. Come from the head to the heart. You will not believe your ears at certain times. There's a very nice story which I once had heard when I was traveling in the Himalayan mountains. And just a few days ago, I read it in my birthday book. One devotee had written it down. This story very much expresses what I personally feel about becoming well and going into this next stage of my spiritual life. The story illustrates how important it is that we put our mind or our heart somewhere, and then the body and the rest of the life will follow. Wherever you put your heart and your mind, there your life will go. You cannot make changes in your life just by changing apartments, cars, countries, partners, money, cloth and frisuras. You can only change your life if you put your heart at a new place. There was once a pilgrim. He was old. He wanted to go to Gangotri, but it was a long, long way. On the way, he came to Devyaprayag, a town which you pass. And there, so much hard and cold rain was coming. He met one road tax collector. You know, these people live in these wooden huts. He was staying, the road tax collector said, "Come, it's so rainy, it's so cold, it's so, and you are so old, you will not go very far." "Where do you want to go?" The old man said, "I want to go to the source of Mother Ganga. I want to go to Gangotri." "Oh, it's a long way to Gangotri. How will you make it?" And then the old man said something which is very true. He said, "My heart is already in Gangotri. Now the rest of my body will follow." Hare Krishna. Where is your heart? If it is in Belgrade, you will be born again in Belgrade. If it's in Zagreb, you will be born again in Zagreb. If it is with Krishna, you will go to Krishna, Krishna Jivani. No matter how hard the rain is, no matter what is the obstacle, no matter how many weaknesses you still have, if you have put your heart to Krishna, you will go to Krishna. But if you are becoming weak-hearted on the path because of the obstacles, and you take your heart away from Krishna, the body and the mind will follow where your heart is. So today I will speak about putting our heart at the right place. As I said, I will try to provocate your thoughts and give you a new perspective. I think when you leave this evening, this program, you will all become Chesti Bhaktas, pure devotees. Your life will be looking very ecstatic from today evening onwards. You will be blessed souls and go back to Krishna. I want to sing now with you a little bit, and then I will deliver my lecture. How do you like my story about the pilgrim? My heart is already in Gangotri. My body is following. No problem. It will reach there. Very good answer. I think I had a pair of cartels just now. Does any one of you see it? First, Jaya Radha Madhava. You are making the film? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihaji. Radha Madhava Kunya Bihaji. Hare Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Vadadadi Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Vadadadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanatari Yamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari During the wonderful time which I have spent in our movement, I have always seen signs of great encouragement. I have seen devotees really advancing in their spiritual life. But I have also seen signs of standstill. I have also seen signs of stagnation. And I have seen, like all of you, a most disturbing inconsistency. The inconsistency between what we know and how we act. May I please know the Croatian word for inconsistency? Nedoslinost. Yes, you understand? Inconsistency means two things don't go together. Huh? Where are our pandits now? Gorgadatta, what is the word? What is it? Nesklad. Yes. The inconsistency between what we know and how we act can create a tremendous amount of tension in a life and bring the fruits of bitter dissatisfaction The inconsistency between our heart's desire and between what we actually do each day, how we think each day, is dangerous. Inconsistency is always the cause of disease, desperation, and feelings of failure, which result in stagnation. See, there is a big difference between what you know in your intellect and what you know in your heart. There's a big difference between theoretical knowledge and the inspiration to act, the inner strength to act, the enthusiasm to act. There's a big difference between the knowledge in the head and the knowledge in the heart. The recent weeks have been great lessons in my own spiritual life. And the biggest lesson which I have learned is really that it is so important to come from the head knowledge into the knowledge of the spiritual heart. I would like to give you a little insight. When I personally realized it, when I was in the hospital, I was actually two times in the hospital. The first time for the surgery, and the second time to treat a raging infection in the body. The first time was relatively easy. It was spent in full narcosis. afterwards, in big bandages. But the second time, when the fever was pushing me to extremes, was very, very difficult. And during this time, I had to go very deep into the ocean of pain. And there on the bottom of the ocean of pain, I found a wonderful jewel, a jewel which is very precious to me. See, when I was so weak and so, you could say, so much in pain, I also became hopeless. All I could think of is, when will this ever stop? And I could not imagine to go through the next 10 minutes even. Could not find a proper place to lie down. Should I sit? Should I go in the bathing tub in cold water and live there? Or you know, what should be done? And what was the most painful is that I seemed to be unable to make a contact with Krishna. I was chanting, but very weak, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Malatishko, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It's so difficult. Ram, Ram. There was nothing in the heart. There was no connection, no experience of Krishna's closeness. There was just like this suffering. and the desire to become free from suffering. I was still in my head. I was trying to remember different meditational techniques about Krishna. I was trying to remember different breathing techniques to get free from the from the pain. I was applying my theoretical knowledge, and I began to understand I don't get anywhere with this. Finally, something happened. Came to the heart, and then, Krishna, please. It came from the heart. And all of a sudden, Krishna was there. The way I realized it was Krishna was very merciful. I didn't see him in Vrindavan playing his flute. I just saw a big, big, big light full of tremendous love and happiness taking me whoosh, in an embrace. And I could understand there was no longer any pain. I was just crying with ecstatic bliss in Krishna consciousness. And I said, my Lord, I don't want to pray to you for freedom from pain. My pain is not my problem. My problem is that I'm separated from you. A poor soul. Please, let me be with you. Then later I was chanting very happily the whole day. Even the night I woke up, I was singing and my pillow was wet. And I saw many deities. My dear Radha Madan Mohan came to me. And everything from that moment was quite easy. Many devotees phoned me. Devotees did kirtan in Australia and showed me with a telephone, here's your kirtan. And I did remember I had made a change. See, head knowledge, what you know with your intellect, cannot help you when you really require help. It's something which doesn't touch you. Only heart knowledge can change your perception and can change your behavior. Head knowledge often makes you pride that I know so much. It makes you closed. And even it can create a blockade. Heart knowledge inspires you to surrender, to sing, to think of Krishna when you chant. Head knowledge is theoretical knowledge. Heart knowledge is applied and realized knowledge. Only when your knowledge is realized, or when it is applied in your life, when you live by it, and if you experience its sweet fruits, can your knowledge show you the way out of this dark ignorance. It is said, when knowledge is not applied, when it is not living in you, it's like a torch for a blind man. Imagine someone is blind and you give him, here's your torch. The blind man will see, I still don't see anything. So when your knowledge doesn't live in you, when it does not motivate you to act as a humble servant in loving surrender, then it's like the torch for a blind man. I would like to give you a few examples of how head knowledge is like a torch for a blind man. I also want to talk to my audience in America and India and Japan and everywhere. They will see through this little camera. which will soon put everything on the internet. Hare Krishna, I'm joking. I can speak so beautifully about humility, but only if I love Krishna, can I be humble and tolerant when someone gets on my nerves. I can speak so beautifully about forgiveness. Yes, we shall practice forgiveness. Forgiveness means we give away our burdens which we carry. But only if I love Krishna will I have the strength to tolerate. I can read so much in the scriptures and explain it with the beautiful lectures, but I might become a pride fool if I do not surrender to Krishna and put myself into his hand. See, heart knowledge, not heart, but sritza knowledge, heart knowledge, means really to surrender and put yourself into the hands of someone else. Head knowledge means you still stay with your ego, with your own plans, with your own desires. Heart knowledge means you give yourself into the hands of the Lord and let him do. Let him act. Let him take you as an instrument. For a long time, I have studied the science of making obeisances. Postovanje. Obeisances. When you make an obeisances, something very important happens. Your heart becomes higher than your head. I don't know if you all understand. If I would now make an obeisances, my head would go down and my heart would rise. The rising of the heart. Huh? Correct? Obeisances are very good. It indicates the necessity to let the devotional heart rule over our head, which is often ruled by the ego. There is a quotation from the Narada Purana, which I would like to read to you. It says, completing 10 Ashwamedha sacrifice. They are very, very expensive, these sacrifices. So you can finish 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices. You need a lot of Vedic knowledge to do it, many mantras. But this can't compare with offering a single obeisances to Krishna. Even if you perform 10 such very costly sacrifices, you will be born again in this world. But if you bow down to Krishna once sincerely, you will never be born again. This is how powerful it is when your heart rises over your head, when your devotion rises over your intellectual knowledge. There are many other quotations in the scriptures which tell you that one single obeisance to the Lord is more important than studying and keeping so much information in your brainski, in your brain. And there is one very, very important verse, which of course is the guideline for all sadhakas who practice devotional service in this world. It says, Tate nukampang susumikshamano punyana evatma kripang vipakam Redvak vapubir vidadan namaste sajivita muktispade sadayabak. It's from the 10th canto. It says, amongst many other things, that if you offer obeisances with your heart, your words, which means your vak, and your body, which means your vapu, you become surely eligible to reach the Supreme Lord. Isn't this a wonderful thing? It says, you should go through your life, and whatever comes, you should accept it as a result of your own karma. Don't protest. And offer your obeisances. And it says, first with the heart, chrit, then with your words, and then your body follows. Remember, when your heart is somewhere, you will talk about it and your body will also go there. When your heart is with Krishna, you will talk about Krishna and you will serve Krishna very nicely. So how can you come from your head to your heart, Srinikatan? This is an important question. What way should you take in order to become devotionally inspired? How should you reach this? I want to talk about this in a minute. Srila Prabhupada said, it is by the grace of Krishna that a devotee gets realized knowledge. So we have to acquire the grace of Krishna. Then we can understand Krishna. Then we can see Krishna. Then we can talk with Krishna. Then we can do everything. What does Prabhupada say here to us? He says, by the milost, or the mercy of Krishna, we will become empowered to see, talk, and do everything with Krishna. Whatever everything is, loving activities. There is a nice example, many nice examples in our tradition, but I can think of one example. I was thinking about this very much when I was on pilgrimage to Varanasi. We stayed for, I believe, a whole week in Varanasi. And I had come there to research information for my book, There Is No Death, a book against all fear. It's a book I'm still writing on. I sometimes think when I'm dead, I will publish it after, you know, so that it's very strong, the message. And I had stayed a whole day at the burning ghat, where the dead people are, you know, the dead bodies are burned, and then where the ashes are put to Mother Ganga. A little later, during the day, I went to one bathing ghat, Dashashvamedha ghat, which is also in Varanasi, and where the opposite of death and dying took place, the spiritual birth took place there. It was there where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami for, I believe, 10 days. prolonged amount of time. Now when Sanatana Goswami had heard for 10 days the Supreme Lord preaching to him, he said something very important. He said, "Now my Lord, I have heard all this, but this is not so useful. Please make that all what you have said becomes manifested in my heart. Would you like to hear it's in his own words? The conclusions which you have told me are the nectar of the truth. But my mind is unable to approach even a drop of that ocean. If you want to make a lame man like me dance, kindly bestow your transcendental blessing by placing your lotus feet upon my head. And please tell me, let whatever I have instructed all be fully manifested unto you. By blessing me in this way, you will give me strength to describe all this." My dear devotees, this is what you need. You have heard so much. Some of you have heard almost too much, so that they do not have any faith any longer, because it has not yet borne the sweet fruits. What is now necessary is that the knowledge becomes manifested in your heart. He says, with my mind and my brain, I can't even understand one drop really of what I have heard. He can't understand. Well, he is a scholar. He knows Sanskrit. He surely will be able to understand. See, there's a difference between understanding here and understanding in the heart or realizing. Therefore, when Krishna was instructing Brahma, it says, "Tena Brahma Hridaye Adikavaye Mushanti Yasurayaha." He went deep into the heart of Lord Krishna. Dobrodošli nasi dragi inisa en besem. Sedite. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Let all these instructions be manifested to you." So, my dear devotees, how often do you pray like Sanatana Goswami? "Oh my Lord, let all this what I have heard and read be manifested in my heart, so that I can live Krishna consciousness." How often do you do this? I think most of you suffer from a chronic apathy, that you have become settled in your life, thinking, "Well, I have enough to eat, I have my breath, and I say Hari Bol, and I do my service also, and I have my friends, and sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry. I live my life." This is not enough. I have received many letters in the past where devotees said to me, "Oh, I'm quite satisfied, and yes, this deep chanting or surrendering more, I mean, oh, you know, the young devotees maybe, I have my set of activities and so on." If you say like this, you will neither be happy in Krishna consciousness, you will not be able to really experience Krishna. It will be just some mental images, some mental fabrications. And here comes the most important thing. There will be two dangers. The first danger is a danger which is psychological. The second is a danger which is existential. Which danger would you like to hear first? Existential. Or, you can never find shelter when you have only had knowledge. When the tests of life come to you, you will act like an ordinary materialist. I have seen some of you in this situation that was embarrassing to stand even next to you. Had knowledge will not give you any shelter. Like my own example in the hospital. I was doing everything, but it was all coming from here. The second danger, at the time of death, we will not be very happy with our head knowledge. The second thing is, when you only have theoretical knowledge, and if you put more and more of this head knowledge into you, there will be something in you which will notice the inconsistency. Let us, Krishna Jivani, please tell me again the word for inconsistency. Nesglet. You will feel this inconsistency and it will eat away your enthusiasm like a parasite in the body who eats your strengths every day away. When you live an inconsistent life, you will feel sometimes, oh, I'm not doing what I know. Oh, who am I? And you will feel disappointed with you. If you live an inconsistent life, you will sometimes also feel something like guilt. I should be doing this, but I'm doing that. Oh, and this guilt will eat away with you. If you have high goals and standards here, but you smoke a cigarette there every day, it will send a message to your subconsciousness. Live a lie. And this living a lie will eat every day a little bit from your enthusiasm, like a parasite who eats every day in you. It will also tell you, yes, you can know something, but you will never act like this. It will never work. It will also tell you, here's Krishna consciousness, but let's be practical. Here is my modern life. Many people suffer from this effect of inconsistency in a psychological way. I know I should give up smoking, but I can't do it. I know I should be a better person in my marriage relationship, but I'm always a neat cough. I will always stay a neat cough. It's so disempowering to know you should be doing something and to act in a different way. It eats away your utsahan, your enthusiasm. On the other side, when you even do a little bit what you know you should be doing, you feel so much snaga, isn't it, Dharmagupta? A little preaching you do, pooh, and your day is saved. If you act upon your knowledge, even if it's a little, it will give you more snaga and more snaga and more snaga. I see this in my recuperation. When I'm worried and I think I will never be able to dance again for Krishna, my whole life is very weak. If I'm think of today, I walked a little longer. Today, this was well. I'm getting so much strength. So, therefore, please pray to Krishna for realization, that the knowledge which you have may enter your heart. I will make one last point now. It's a Bhagavatam point. How does the Srimad Bhagavatam help us, or what is the exact prescription of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that the knowledge which we have in our head becomes realized knowledge? Well, the Bhagavatam says here again and again about Krishna. And then the Bhagavatam diagnoses that unfortunately, because we have turned away from Krishna at one time, most of the people don't have an okust, a taste to hear. And that's a problem. When you have the medicine to become Krishna conscious, so that Krishna consciousness lives in your heart, but you have no taste, what will you do? I remember when I was at the hospital with the infection, I needed strong antibiotics. They put like buckets of antibiotics in my intravenous nerve. So then I just, one night, I just couldn't take it any longer. I took it out and said, "You can kill me. I will not take this any longer. It's too painful in the veins." And then they said, "Okay, we give it to you through the mouth. Is that all right?" I have only taken herbs and Mustafa tea and all this good things. I'm not an antibiotics man. I'm a probiotics man. But they said, "Then drink your Mustafa tea. You will see how much your infection goes. You have to take it." And and they convinced me with three doctors. Then I was brainwashed and I said, "Okay." So then I remember the first morning, it's such a pill. The whole chemical industry of Zagreb is inside. I have no vera, no faith. So then you have to take it with the food, because otherwise it burns the stomach too much. Then after I have finished, there was a vitamin B pill and this antibiotics. After we had finished the food, I said, "Gaurahari, have you given me the antibiotics?" And Gaurahari said, "Yes, together with the vitamin pill. Or is it still on your plate, the antibiotics?" I said, "No, it's not there." "Then you have taken it." "Really?" "Yes, I gave it to you. And you said you would take it because they had convinced you." Then noon came and there were the three doctors. "Listen, we have found your antibiotic pill under the pillow. When you were in the bathroom, they were putting new sheets on the bed, and they found the pill under your pillow." I said, "I'm sorry, it's a Freudian mistake. My head wanted to take it because you had convinced me, but my heart was still against it. So somehow I must have put the pill in the direction of my mouth, and then in the last moment I had put it under the pillow. But this last moment was a subconscious action which reflects my resistance against modern medicine. And I said, listen, if I would have done it consciously, I'm intelligent enough to do such thing, I would have taken the pill with me on the toilet and then gone, and it would be gone. I'm not so foolish to put something under the pillow where it will be found the next moment. It was just unconscious. It was the decision of my heart. The next pill I will take. You can be next to me. You can have a guard if you want with a machine gun. I will take it. So then I took it. And from that moment I took it because, yes, I knew at that moment when I was in, at that moment it was too heavy for light medicine. The disease was too heavy. The infection was too big. So I took it. When you have no taste to take the medicine, you're in trouble. That's my point. We as conditioned souls don't like to hear about Krishna very much. We become bored. We become nervous. We think of our next phone call on our mobile telephone and so on. So the Bhagavatam says, if someone has no taste to take the medicine, no problem. He should go into the association of devotees. Because when you are in the association of devotees, the taste for Krishna consciousness will be born. Then, when you hear about Krishna, Krishna will enter through your ears into your heart, and he will take the unwanted desires and the diversions away from you. Shinvata svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hitryanta, hrit means heart, hrityantasto shabadrani vidunoti suritsatam. So the taste is born if you again and again come into the association of devotees, shinikata, and then when you hear more and more about Krishna, you will feel so enthusiastic and ecstatic in your Krishna consciousness that these unwanted desires will go. Some of you have unwanted desires. Oh, they fell in Lubov here and in Lubov there. And now it's two Lubov camps that are very difficult to bring it together. But what to do? The desire is there. Some are practicing Krishna consciousness, but oh, when the autumn comes and the vine is ready for serving, then I also want to be there, like I was every year there. So on. This is natural for the conditioned soul who has been ruled by material desires. But if Krishna comes into the heart by regular hearing, he will take away these inauspicious desires which bind us to the material world and which give us so much heartaches. Then, the Bhagavatam continues, after Krishna has become active in your heart, you should not only hear the Bhagavatam, but you should serve pure devotees, because by this service, you will be blessed with steady bhakti. It's called nishta bhakti. And at that point, when bhakti is in your heart, You are no longer overpowered by rajas and tamas, which has these subtle effects like lust and greed. And you become delighted because you are in Shuddha Sattva, on the platform of pure goodness. And on this platform of pure goodness, you will get God realization, Krishna realization. If you want to study step by step how this road to becoming situated in experience, Krishna experience goes, where it takes you, please read in the first canto, second chapter, text number 16 to text number 20. As a result of hearing about Krishna, you will first become convinced that Krishna is there. When you start to think deeply about what you have heard about Krishna, then all your contrary engagements will be stopped. You will actually be able, when you think deeply about what you have heard, to become steady in your Krishna consciousness. And then, when you get heart knowledge, that is realized knowledge, the greatest doubt will be destroyed. The greatest doubt is, can I make a realization of Krishna? Many of you have this doubt. Is it possible for me to see Krishna? To love Krishna? Will Krishna reveal himself to me? I'm so so low. My dear devotees, when Krishna helps you that the knowledge goes from the heart, from the head to the heart, then you will actually become free from the doubt that you can experience Krishna. This is the blessing of going from the head to the heart. How again to do it? Let me summarize it for you again. You must pray to Krishna that this happens, and you must adopt the authorized process which is given in the Bhagavatam, which starts by hearing the Bhagavatam regularly and then serving the pure devotee Bhagavatam. Then you will become free from rajas and tamas, and Krishna will take his place on the seat of your heart. What more do you want? At that time, when Krishna takes his seat in your heart, there will be a reaction of tears of gratitude which come out. Not tears of, oh, why didn't this work out for me, or that. You will cry in transcendental love because Krishna has shown himself to you and all your doubts are removed. Yes. Krishna loves you. Tomorrow is Gopunim, and I would like to tell you about two devotees. One had head knowledge and the other heart knowledge. It was the King Prataparudra. King Prataparudra had only one desire, to have the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, wanted to give the example of an ideal sannyasi who does not associate with people who have money and power, to not become attracted. And he said, I cannot see a king. Prataparudra said, Mahaprabhu has come to save the most fallen. I am the most fallen. If my being king is the obstacle for for seeing and having the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then to hell with this king. I will become a beggar. The low class beggar in this kingdom. I will put one earring. And then I will sit and beg, Bhikshudehi, Bhikshudehi. Someone else can be the king. I only want the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prataparudra was such a wonderful devotee. At the time of Ratha Yatra,